Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to meet the United States Army Reserve 13th PSYOP Battalion, talk about the upcoming Medal of Honor convention, and learn about Mile in My Shoes. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
September 18th marks the birthday of the United States Air Force, the Aerial Warfare Service Branch of the United States Military. It's time to reflect on the great history of the Air Force. World War II had been over for 2 years, and the Korean War lay 3 years ahead when the Air Force ended a 40-year association with the United States Army to become a separate service. The mission of the United States Air Force is to fly, fight, and win in air, space, and cyberspace. To achieve that mission, the Air Force has a vision of global vigilance, reach, and power. That vision relies on developing airmen, technology to warfighting, and integrating operations. The Air Force has come a long way since its formation in 1947, and the excellence and tradition are carried on in Minnesota by the Minnesota Air National Guard's 133rd Airlift Wing and the 148th Fighter Wing. With the increased emphasis on cyber warfare, I am confident we'll see the Air Force and the Air National Guard progress even further in our generation and generations to come.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Lieutenant Colonel Scotty Lene, who is the commander of the 13th PSYOP Battalion of the United States Army Reserve. Colonel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. I'm glad to be here.
Sir, can you tell us a little bit about your military career?
Yeah, well, Tom, I graduated as an ROTC commission in 1996 from Lamar University in Beaumont, Texas. My first duty assignment was in the 2nd Infantry Division as an air defense officer, then the 82nd Airborne Division at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I commanded the Air Defense Battery for the 11th ACR out at the National Training Center in the Op 4. And then I transitioned to psychological operations in about 2003, where I've been in 9th Battalion, 4th PSYOP Group, Fort Bragg, Senior PSYOP OC at JRTC, 14th PSYOP Battalion and 7th PSYOP Group, UCKPOC G37, which is the Chief of Training, so I was in charge of all the training for our command, and now I command the 13th PSYOP Battalion and 2nd PSYOP Group in Arden Hills, Minnesota.
And Colonel, I see from your bio here that you've done a number of jumps. It says you're a master parachutist. You have the master parachutist badge, Australian jump wings, Irish Ranger parachute badge, and the Romanian jump wings. And you have a few more, too, don't you?
Yeah. I've been very fortunate in my career. This is only the second assignment, believe it or not, that I've not been on jump status. When I commanded the Air Defense Battery, 11th ACR, I wasn't on jump status. And when I and then the 13th PSYOP Battalion is not on jump status. But all in all, I've been jumping for about 19 years, and I have 92 static line jumps, 6 sets of foreign wings, and now most of those came from UCKPOC's Toy Drop, which is a fundraiser type event. Not a fundraiser. It's actually a toy collection, almost like Toys for Tots, that we run out of Fort Bragg. And what we do with that is if a soldier brings a toy, then they get a jump and the opportunity to jump with a foreign jump master and an aircraft, and then they can get foreign jump wings. So I got a lot of those from Fort Bragg, except the Australian jump wings I got in my time with an Australian jump master, also at Fort Bragg, but not as part of Toy Drop.
So it sounds like every opportunity you had a chance, you jumped.
I would like to tell you that was the case, but no, it was not. Matter of fact, I do not really chase jumps, but yes, when you're at Fort Bragg, that's what you do.
And Colonel, you've been deployed a couple of times with the Special Operations Training and as part of the PSYOP?
That's correct. In 2004, I deployed with 1st Marine Division to Fallujah, Iraq, in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom 3. And then when I was a senior PSYOP OC at JRTC, we actually deployed to Afghanistan, but it's not a real deployment. It was TDY, and it was for training to train the Afghanistan Army in a CPX, which is a computer-based type exercise to train an Afghanistan Corps.
And Colonel, you're now the commander of the 13th PSYOP Battalion of the United States Army Reserve. Can you tell us what is the 13th Psychological Operations Battalion?
Okay. The 13th PSYOP Battalion actually was originated in 1961 as the 13th Psychological Warfare Battalion, and it was an enemy prisoner of war battalion. So basically the battalion was comprised of interrogators, And we were the guys that would go into enemy prisoner of war camps, and we would interrogate or question the prisoners to find out what motivated them, so that then we could use those messages in psychological operations to get the enemy to either surrender, stop fighting, or whatever we needed them to do. You know, in 1965, we changed from psychological warfare to PSYOP. We were still, 13th Battalion was actually at Fort Bragg at that time. And believe it or not, the battalion ran a radio station from Fort Bragg. It was WCSW-FM, and they did that for a few years till they were deactivated, and then they moved to Fort Snelling in 1975. Again, enemy prisoner of war, but PSYOP. And then eventually in 1996, moved to Arden Hills. Interesting thing about the 13th PSY Battalion is it's the only battalion in PSYOP that actually deployed as a battalion to support Desert Storm and Desert Shield. Other PSYOP units did support that effort, but we're the only battalion that actually deployed as a battalion. So we have the Desert Storm, Desert Shield streamers.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Scotty Lene on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, your mission today in the 13th PSYOP of the United States Army Reserve, what's your mission today?
PSYOP's mission today is to influence the behavior of select target audiences. And so we don't do that in America, but when we deploy overseas, our job is to get people to do what we want them to do, whether it's to get civilians to not interfere with military operations, to get the enemy to surrender, to harass the enemy, to get into their sleep cycles where they're not, where we affect their will to fight. That's basically what we do. We do the messaging for the Army.
So when we have troops deployed to Iraq or Afghanistan and they're out doing their missions, a battalion such as yours is there to help support that and to try to influence the enemy.
That is correct. And most people really recognize us through, you know, you hear about leaflet drops from Desert Storm. That's what, that was PSYOP. Loudspeaker messages when you hear the broadcast, like if you're looking at in the movie Saving Private Ryan with the messages coming over in the one scene where Tom Hanks, you know, it says the Statue of Liberty is kaput. That was PSYOP. Those are the type of things that we do in our organization.
So some of these things you can talk about and some maybe not.
Yes.
Very good. Very good, Colonel. Can you tell us the 13th Psychological Operations Battalion, where are you located and what type of activities do you get involved in the community?
Right now we're located on the corner of Highway 96 and Lexington Avenue in Arden Hills. And we actually do a lot with the community. In fact, tomorrow we're actually doing a military fitness challenge with Boston Scientific. We did one with them last week. We support the recruiters at the state fair. We're actually, a lot of my soldiers are actually participating and helping with the Medal of Honor convention that's coming up in October. We helped Delta Airlines with the wheelchair drive. It was a couple of weeks back. So we try to get as involved with the community as possible. This last weekend, the 407th CA Battalion, which is my sister battalion in Arden Hills, did a non-prof ruck march around White Bear Lake, and we had a couple people participate in that for Carry the Fallen. So we try to get involved with as much as we can with the community, because the bottom line is reserves, just like the National Guard, are citizen soldiers, and we're from – I'm not, but my soldiers are from Minnesota. And so they're twice the citizen, and so they're part of the community, and we try to be part of the community.
And the United States Army Reserves has mostly just a federal mission to support deployments around the world?
That is correct. Unlike the National Guard, it also has a state mission.
Sure. Now, Colonel, when you deploy, do you deploy as a unit, or do you have some reservists out at one or two at a time?
For the most part, we do not deploy as an organic unit. We have the ability for my battalion headquarters to deploy as a PSYOP task force. Also here in Minnesota, I have two PSYOP companies, the 319th PSYOP company and the 339th PSYOP company, and they'll deploy as company organic or as detachments. And then we also have the 321st in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and the 350th in Cleveland, Ohio. So we can deploy either as a team, as a detachment, as a company, or as a battalion.
And do you have some soldiers deployed now, sir?
Not currently, not as a real deployment. We just had soldiers come back from Africa. They were supporting Horn of Africa with the piracy mission. And we do a lot of exercises in support of EUCOM. So I just came back from Latvia. Before that, I had my battalion headquarters just came back from Poland supporting Operation Anaconda. And then I have soldiers getting ready to go to JRTC, have soldiers that have done JMRC in Europe, which that's the Joint Readiness Training Center and the Joint Maneuver Training Center in Europe. So a real deployment to Iraq and Afghanistan, those have really slowed down over the last few years, but we are still very busy supporting EUCOM and AFRICOM.
And, sir, one last question before the break. Is it possible that any of your soldiers in your reserve unit are not aware that there's probably going to be plenty of opportunities to deploy?
Oh, no. Our battalion motto is always ready, because we know with the way the state of the world is today, we need to be ready for the next conflict, wherever it may be or whatever it may be. So, no, we train hard, and our soldiers know every day that we could be called at a moment's notice, and we're ready to go.
Sir, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the 13th PSYOP Battalion, United States Army Reserve. We're speaking to Lieutenant Colonel Scotty Lene on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking to Lieutenant Colonel Scotty Lene, who is the battalion commander of the 13th PSYOP Battalion of the United States Army Reserve. And, Colonel, we talked a little bit about your missions and your military background. You've been in the military quite a while. And can you tell me how many soldiers do you have in the 13th PSYOP Battalion, and what type of jobs do they do?
Well, in the battalion, we have about 500 soldiers. Of that 500, about 300 of them are actually stationed right here in Arden Hills with us. The majority of our soldiers do psychological operations. That is what the majority of the battalion is made up of. But we also have our staff. We have intelligence guys. We have signal guys. We have administrative guys. We have logisticians. So we have a pretty good broad range of different specialties and skills that people provide to the battalion. But for the most part, we're PSYOP.
And they bring a whole different set of skills from their civilian jobs as well.
They sure do. I have company commanders that are rocket scientists. I have one that's a lawyer. I have one that manages a company in Chicago. Our soldiers range from construction workers to, you know, cashiers to paralegals to you name it. We have it all. So if there's anybody out there looking for something extra to do and would like an adventure, get to see the world and contribute to their country, 13th PSYOP's a good way to go.
And, Colonel, those civilian jobs and the civilian education, that must provide a lot of extra ability when you are deployed around the world.
It absolutely does. I'll tell you, one of the things that the Army Reserve brings to the fight that the active component Army does not is those civilian skill sets. And you'd be amazed at how much, when we get deployed, our civilian skill sets actually help us achieve our mission and help us with our mission. Numerous times whenever we deploy PSYOP that we're not really actually doing PSYOP, but something that we're actually familiar with from what we do with our jobs at home. And so our soldiers truly are twice the citizen.
Colonel, we talked a little bit in the first segment about the fact that you and your soldiers get involved in some community activities, and I know that you've gotten involved in an event that's coming up in October, and you brought a guest with you today.
I sure did. I brought Miss Tiffany Kovaleski. She is the Chief of Staff for the Medal of Honor Convention Twin Cities, and we have been working together for a year, not in my capacity as a 13th Battalion Commander, but just as a military member of the community trying to contribute to this honorable event.
And Tiffany, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
Tiffany, for those in our listening audience that might not know, can you tell us what is the Medal of Honor Convention and when's it going to be?
Yeah, it is an annual convention that travels around from state to state and honors our nation's greatest heroes. Now, the Congressional Medal of Honor Society's annual convention will be coming to Minnesota for the very first time, October 4th through the 8th of this year. And this major event is the equivalent of the Super Bowl in the military and veterans community, with over 3,000 people coming into town to pay tribute to the living Medal of Honor recipients.
And how did you get involved with Colonel Lene on this event coming up?
That's a great question. We've been adding to our wonderful team here, and Lieutenant Colonel Lene came on board as our military lead and has been just overabundant with helping out in any way that he can.
So, Colonel, is it you're doing that as a civilian or as a colonel or some of your soldiers helping you with this event?
Well, I'm not a civilian at all. I'm a full-time soldier, AGR. which means active guard reserve. So I'm full time. But yes, this is not part of my daily duties. This is all extra on the side, trying to coordinate and facilitate all the military participation in the Medal of Honor event with all five branches of service.
So you're like a military liaison then?
Pretty much, yes.
All right. And Colonel, that thing's coming up pretty quick, October 4th to the 8th. How's it going?
It is fantastic. I cannot believe the overwhelming support that we've received from the Minnesota Guard, the Marine Corps units that are in the area, the Air Force, both the Air Guard and the Air Reserve, the 934th, and the Coast Guard, all the branches of service, to include University of Minnesota's ROTC programs and all the JROTC programs from the high schools around the local area. It has been amazing the amount of support that we have received to contribute to this event.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Scotty Lene and Tiffany Kovaleski, and we're talking about the upcoming Medal of Honor convention that will be here in the Twin Cities from October 4th to October 8th. And Tiffany, can you tell me what that goes over a period of days? Can you just tell us what's going to happen over those few days?
Yeah, so it's starting off, we're partnering with the Minnesota Medal of Honor Memorial. They're doing their official groundbreaking ceremony at the Capitol Mall on October 3rd, and the general public is welcome to attend that. Then the convention starts off on October 4th as recipients are traveling in, and then on the 5th we're having our Twin Cities welcome ceremony at the U.S. Bank Stadium. So we're encouraging anybody and everybody to come and attend. That's starting at 10 o'clock, and then after that is the autograph signing. So if you're interested in attending that, it's another free event for the general public. And you can find tickets on that on our website or if you go onto our Facebook page.
And Tiffany, I know you don't know for sure, but how many Medal of Honor recipients do you think will be here?
Right now we have 45.
From all over the country?
From all over the country. And considering the age of the recipients, there's a total of 77 living Medal of Honor recipients, and we were told that this convention is the highest attendance other than Hawaii, and I'm not sure if we can beat Hawaii's weather, but we're very excited for 45.
Colonel, I want to come back to you. The Medal of Honor, it's one of the highest awards that a service member can get.
Tom, it is the highest that anybody can get in America.
And so I bet you're looking forward to meeting some of these recipients as well.
I'll tell you, I'm so excited. I've met a few of them already just in part of the planning. But in 1995, I had the opportunity to meet Jack Lucas, who's a Medal of Honor recipient from Iwo Jima in 1945. And that introduction and interaction with that man has inspired my entire career. I have a picture of him on my wall. When people come in, I talk to my soldiers about it. It was just an amazing experience. And so whenever this came to the Twin Cities, I couldn't help but jump all over it. I wanted to be part of it.
And Colonel, there's one thing that's kind of common. If you read the writing about when and why they received the Medal of Honor, they were just ordinary people that were put in an extraordinary circumstance and performed admirably, aren't they?
They absolutely were. And I'll tell you, not to take away from the Medal of Honor recipients, because they're heroes. There's no question. But our men and women in service, just about every one of them would do the same thing if put in the same circumstances. We have a fantastic fighting force, whether they're National Guard, Reserve, or active component. We truly have the greatest army in the entire world, the history of the world.
And it's all about training, isn't it? If you're properly trained and you know what you need to do when the time comes, you do it.
You just go.
Tiffany, how many of these recipients have you met so far?
Oh, that's a great question, Tom. I want to say at least 25 I've had the pleasure of meeting. And each and every one of them are just as humble as the other, and it's just a true honor to meet each and every one.
I'll bet there's very few people in the world that have met that many, Tiffany.
I am truly blessed.
You are. Can you tell us a little bit more about the event and the opportunity for the public to be involved?
Yeah, so if they want to attend the groundbreaking ceremony with the Minnesota Medal of Honor Memorial Organization on October 3rd, and that's starting at 4 o'clock at the Capitol Mall, or if they want to attend the Twin Cities Welcome Ceremony on October 5th at 10 o'clock at the U.S. Bank Stadium, or if they want to attend the autograph signing at the U.S. Bank Stadium on October 5th following the Twin Cities Public Welcome Ceremony. Those would be the best events for the general public to attend.
And where can our listeners find more information about this?
on our website at mohtwincities.com, and we're on all social media channels. We're very active in social media, and we're doing a campaign. It's hashtag Honor Our Heroes Minnesota. And if anyone wants to post on Facebook or Twitter and just take a picture of themselves with holding a sign welcoming the recipients, and we want to show the recipients that Minnesota's here and we're proud that they're here.
Now, Tiffany, this is going to come and go real quickly now. October 4th to the 8th will be here before you know it. Is there a lasting value for the Twin Cities and the communities after this is over?
Absolutely. We just got done with hiring our heroes job fair, and we've been active in the veteran community and the military community, making sure that they have that our employers here in the Twin Cities are knowing their qualities and values as employees. And then we also have 13 school visits with 5 Black Hawk helicopters visiting 13 of those schools. But the main thing is the CDP. We've partnered with the Medal of Honor Foundation, and we've been bringing the character development program here. We've passed legislation in the state of Minnesota, and recently we've just been the state to help develop the new elementary character development program with teachers here from the state of Minnesota, and we're launching it on October 6th. Nationally.
So the Medal of Honor Convention, October 4th to the 8th. More information can be found at mohtwincities.com. Tiffany, Colonel Lene, thanks for joining us today in Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Lieutenant Colonel Scotty Lene from the battalion commander from the 13th SIOP Battalion, United States Army Reserve, and Tiffany Kovaleski from the Medal of Honor Convention. One more time, October 4th to the 8th. More information at mohtwincities.com. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at minnesotamilitaryradio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn about a program called A Mile in My Shoes. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
More than 500,000 Americans have been captured and interned as prisoners of war since the American Revolution. Prisoners of war have bravely endured the loss of the very freedoms they fought to defend at the hands of their captors. We take time to remember and pay respect to the POWs who, through circumstances of war beyond their control, have been held captive by enemy forces. They have endured one of the greatest challenges one can face, the loss of personal freedom. Let us vow to never forget the sacrifices POWs and their families have made for our freedom. Their efforts and sacrifices help build the strong foundation we have today, which continues to drive us forward.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about a program called A Mile in My Shoes is Jana Huffman, who is the board chair, a runner, mother of 2 children, and a yoga lover. Jana, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Jana, can you tell me what is A Mile in My Shoes?
Sure. We are a program that wants to bring people together to change perceptions and to change lives. So we bring together community volunteers who we call run mentors with shelter guests who are our resident members, and they come together to improve their health, but also to build relationships and sort of change perceptions of people experiencing homelessness and just share their stories.
Well, you're the board chair. When did this start?
It was founded in May 2014 with just 6 shelter guests, 2 higher ground staff members, and then MIMS founders and 6 volunteer runners. And so we've grown since then to have served over 100 community volunteers and over 50 residential members.
So where did this idea come from and how did you get involved?
Sure. It is related to sort of a similar organization that isn't currently present in the Twin Cities called Back on My Feet, which offers similar running programs for people experiencing homelessness. One of their staff members relocated to the Twin Cities and with her partner went ahead and started it along with the partnership with Catholic Charities and Higher Ground. I was fortunate to sort of discover it on social media that summer and have been running with the team ever since.
Now, can you tell me, where did the notion come from that our some of the homeless folks in town would even want to go run?
Sure. I think there is just a desire among all different kinds of people to find some way to improve themselves, to have better health, to find something to do with time that they might have. And so I think there's just a stepping into realizing that that's true for all people, sort of no matter where they're residing or what their situation is. And so wanting to, for many of us who come as community volunteers, we have seen the power of running in our own lives, whether that's helping people to stay sober or lose weight. And so to just realize that power was something we wanted to offer anyone in the world.
So this is just another thing that comes after food and shelter and taking care of those basic necessities. Now, what about an exercise program? What about self-help and self-health?
Correct. Yeah. And I think there are some pieces in there that are just sort of a natural outgrowth of running. And when we start with a mile, because everybody can kind of get out there and tackle that first mile. And then they realize once they've done a mile, they can work up to their first 5K. And from there, they can take on, we've had some runners complete marathons. And so it's the sort of goal setting that then can be applied to other parts of life. And the leadership skills that some of our members have grown into are the running is a piece, but there's so much more to what we do together.
We're speaking with Jana Huffman from A Mile in My Shoes on Minnesota Military Radio. And Jana, you brought a guest today, Bryce Okocha. Bryce, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Bryce, I understand you were in the Navy.
Yes, I was.
Shipping around a bunch of Marines.
Yes, I was. Exactly.
did you enjoy your time in the Navy?
Seeing different countries was fun, but, you know, when you're in port, it was kind of boring. But hanging out with the Marines was fun.
That's good. And there's no Marines present, so you weren't coerced into that, right?
No.
Okay. Now, Bryce, I understand that you ran into some financial difficulties and some other things, and you found yourself staying at Catholic Charities Higher Ground.
That's correct.
And how did you find Catholic Charities, and are you also a student?
Yes, I am a full-time student at Metropolitan State University.
And how does that all work? How does this all come together with Catholic Charities Higher Ground and being a student, and how does that all work for you?
Oh, it's working good. I started at MCTC, and I recently graduated this past May. And before I went back to MCTC, I drove by Higher Ground on my way to work because I used to work downtown. And I did a little research on it on the internet, and I saw how it would work out for me and how it would create financial stability for myself in the future. But so far, I'm loving it so far.
Good. Tell me about when you met Jana.
I first met Jana, but around this time 2 years ago, on my first mile. I just signed up with Mile in My Shoes right around this time 2 years ago.
So she saw you and said, okay, Navy, get out here. We're going for a run.
not quite. A resident member where I was staying at pulled me to the side and said, you know, I need to talk to you. You need to check out this running program that's going on every Tuesdays and Thursdays. I said, you know, let me check it out. And went down there, ran the first mile, and fell in love with it ever since.
Didn't feel too much like PT in the Navy, huh?
I think this is better than a PT in the Navy.
So how many of the guests, how many of the residents of Catholic Charities Higher Ground have been participating in this?
It fluctuates. You know, you have some that we have a very few. I'm like me and like three other guys have stayed along since its inception, but we get a lot of guys that come and go. It's just like a shelter, you know, people come and go.
So does Jana show up for all these runs, or are there a lot of people from her organization there?
Oh yeah.
So they kind of gently encourage you to go on the runs twice a week?
Oh, I'm already there. So I'm actually doing the encouraging on my fellow resident members.
So you're enjoying this program?
Yes, I am.
All right. What's up? What's going to happen for you in the future now that you've graduated from Metropolitan State?
Well, I'm going to get back into the workforce and create some financial stability for myself. That way I don't have to ask anybody for help.
Jana, when you were putting this program together and you went to Catholic Charities Higher Ground, were they pretty interested in what you had to offer?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a wonderful partnership. And we're hoping to kind of continue that. They're opening a site in St. Paul, and if there are ways that we can continue to partner with them and offer the program, you know, throughout the city and the state, that would be a wonderful thing.
Have you come across a lot of veterans in the process?
We have encountered some veterans. As you know, our program's working hard to end veteran homelessness. But while we haven't sort of targeted veterans specifically, in our initial site search, we had approached the VA about working with them and still hope there's potential future collaborations there. We've heard about the new Veterans East facility being constructed on the VA campus, and we would love to be a part of that, for example, from the ground up.
So you're working with some other service organizations that are helping the homeless, such as MACV and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and other organizations like that.
Yes, we hope to continue to build all of those partnerships and sort of offer our program in places where it fits well. The thing about veterans is that they tend to have skills that are well-suited to our program, so they have a great sense of teamwork and personal discipline, leadership skills, mental toughness, commitment to one another, and the ability to get up early, and so it seems like it could be a great fit.
So, Bryce, you get a wake-up call? You have to run early in the morning?
Yeah, I got to get a wake-up call because I'm a deep sleeper. So one of the resident members has to wake me up at 5 in the morning and just get down at 6. But other than that, once I'm up, I'm ready to go.
Janet, remember, he's Navy. You just have to make a loud noise to get him up, and he'll be out there. That's how it works, right?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Janet and Bryce, we have to take a short break. We'll be back shortly with Janet Huffman and Bryce Okocha talking about A Mile in My Shoes on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking to Jana Huffman and Bryce Okocha about the program called Mile in My Shoes. And Jana, can you tell us again, you've been around for a couple of years, what is Mile in My Shoes?
Sure. We do weekly runs together, bringing together our community volunteers who are our run mentors and our shelter guests who are our resident members. So we just run together, and that's a lot of the power of what we do. But we also do some non-running social events together and some educational events together around issues of homelessness that sort of further deepen those relationships.
So, and we found out in the first segments that you run a couple times a week, and when you go over there to the Catholic Charities Higher Ground, you have to make a real loud noise first thing in the morning to get up. Navy will court you out of bed, and you wait for him to get ready to run, and then off you go.
He's worth it. Yep.
Is that how that works, Navy?
That's how it works.
And you enjoy that running?
Yes, I do. So, like I said, it's better than the Navy runs.
Well, you said, how far do you go?
The longest I've ran was 11 miles.
But with Mile in My Shoes, how far do you run?
We do 4 to 5 miles every Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we also do Saturday runs too.
So that's about enough to get you awake then when you get back.
Yes.
This is good. I can just see somebody ringing a loud Navy bell and saying, Bryce, get down here. It's time to go run.
That's how it works.
So you like this program and you'd recommend it?
Yes, yes. I recommend it for anyone that's trying to get back into shape or they're just trying to have a different outlook on life or if they're tired of just waking up the same way every morning.
Get up and take a run with Navy.
That's right. Run with me. I'll definitely get you into shape.
John, sorry, as veterans pick on each other a little bit, but how many shelters do you go to and do this now?
Right now we are at Catholic Charities Higher Ground, as we've mentioned, and we've also had the opportunity over the summer to run at Youth Link, which is a shelter serving homeless youth.
Now, do you go out and run during the winter too, all year long?
We have in the past. We'll run, our season ends on Thanksgiving, which just depending on the year can be, you know, balmy or quite cold.
Well, Navy, I walk almost every day all year, so I expect you out there in the winter. I want to see you running.
Oh, winter runs are my thing. I'm not afraid of winter runs.
Good. It won't hurt you if you dress right.
That's right.
All right. Jana, I want to talk just a little bit more. Mile in My Shoes, you've been doing this a couple of years. Do you have a lot of volunteers that help you?
We have a good number of community volunteers. I'm kind of like our resident members as people come and go from the shelter. Also, they come and go whether they're in school or whether they're sort of switching jobs or moving in and out of the city. So we've had about 100 community volunteers kind of cycle through, so not all at one time. But we've been thankful. People really enjoy sharing their running with others. So
how is Mile in My Shoes organized? Are you just a loosely affiliated group or are you a 501c3?
Yep. I think kind of the winter of 2014, the few of us who had started incorporated into a nonprofit. And so we are just kind of a young, new nonprofit that's growing and trying to figure out how we can share what we do with various parties in the cities.
So what do you need from our listeners? Do you need volunteers? Do you need money? How does this work?
Yeah, our hope for today is to kind of get the word out to various sites that might be a good fit for one of our teams. So if people have connections or recommendations, they can visit our website, which is just mileinmyshoes.mn. And then donations to support our work are certainly welcome. And then if people have expertise to offer our teams, we like to offer education around things like sports medicine or nutrition. So people could certainly connect if they have sort of personal expertise that they're willing to share.
So, Bryce, when the groups get together to take these runs, do you do some kind of get together and do some warm-ups and stuff so you don't pull a hammy or something?
Oh, yeah. Before we start our runs, we do – I'm pretty much the leader of the warm-up, so I have them do the jumping jacks, the running in place, toy soldiers, and, you know, do windmills. So I'm incorporating some of that Marine Corps PT stuff and some of that Air Force PT stuff that you guys do into my warm-ups.
I'm just visualizing Navy leading the warm-ups and saying, all right, let's go, boys. This is sounding scary, Bryce. Sounding scary.
Yeah.
So Jana, is he a pretty good leader over there?
He's a very good leader. We're thankful.
Yeah, Bryce, once you get out into the workforce and get back to work in a place, you're gonna stick around with them and be on the other side of this?
As long as I can, because they've grown onto me. So they're like glue to me. It's like they're like super glue to me. It's hard to come off, so...
Bryce, I want to thank you for joining us today. It's Bryce Okocha. I'm sorry I picked on Navy so much, but I couldn't help it.
Oh, it's all good.
It's good.
I love it.
You keep that running up now.
I will.
Janet, we just got a few seconds left. You want to tell us once again the website and how can we help?
Yes, absolutely. Our website is mileinmyshoes.mn, and you can sign up there for a monthly newsletter if you want to keep up on what we're doing. And you can also find links to Facebook and Twitter and all the social media outlets. And we're just happy to have people know a little bit more about what we do. And then if there are ways that they would love to participate or give back, we'd be thankful.
Jana, Bryce, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us.
That was Jana Huffman from Mile in My Shoes and Bryce Okocha, who is participating in the program and is going to stick around and help Jana in the future, and he's going to run a lot this winter.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Thanks.
Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I see that your hat of courage brought you all the way into the studio today.
Yes, it did. It likes to lead me wherever it wants to take me, and usually it's to good places.
And here we are in September. Are you in a cage yet?
No. There's still plenty of biking weather out there.
So you're out on a scooter today, and that's why you got on gloves and a warm jacket.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the Minnesota Patriot Guard. It's been a long year, hasn't it?
It has. You know, we're busy every day. There's almost a mission, at least one mission every day. When it comes to the weekends, Fridays, we usually get piled up with a bunch of them down at Fort Snelling, and it's been busy.
And last month, we lost a great American hero. We lost General Jack Vesey, and
yep.
I'm sure that your Patriot Guard riders showed up in force for that.
Yep, we did. Yep, that was a sad event.
A real yep. Minnesota icon. He was served in the Army for 46 years. And
yes.
He started as an E-1 private, and he ended up a 4-star general, chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and what a wonderful man.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, in June, you had the annual Patriot Ride.
Well, we did.
And as I recall, you had pretty good weather for a change.
We actually did. You know, we hired a good weatherman, and he came through for us, and we had good weather, and we ended up with about 4,200 motorcycles or people there, and great event. There was lots of stuff going on. And
so that was out at the Anoka County Airport?
It was.
Now, I want to ask you, how long was the ride this year?
50 miles.
50 miles. So when the first one started and left, were they already getting back before the last ones were leaving?
Barely. We barely cleared the airport by the time the first came back. So that meant we had about 50 miles worth of motorcycles all in one row.
So if you were at that ride out at the Anoka County Airport for about an hour, you heard motorcycles
starting
up and taking off.
That's all you heard.
And a lot of families come out and have a pretty good time.
They did. We try to make it a real good family event. You know, it's a community event. We get people in there that don't ride motorcycles just to come in and see all the stuff and all the stuff of the programs and meet all the people and see all the motorcycles leave and come back. And
so you had a great event. I understand that you've got another event that you're going to participate in, and we were talking about that earlier on the show, and that's the Medal of Honor Convention.
Yes, we've got some events that we're going to be helping with and doing some flag lines and other stuff. And if you're interested in helping, go to our calendar at mnpatriotguard.org and check out the stuff that's coming up, and that'll be from the 3rd to the 8th.
And the Medal of Honor Convention is going to be October 4th to the 8th, I think.
Yeah.
But there's something that happens on the 3rd,
yeah.
And they've got dozens of Medal of Honor recipients coming in. There's about 77, I think, in the country. And if our listeners want to find out about that, go to mohtwincities.com, and there'll be an opportunity, maybe a couple opportunities, to come out and stand the flag line.
Oh, yes. Yep.
That'll be quite an honor to stand the line when those 40-some Medal of Honor recipients come in and take the stage, wouldn't it?
It will. It's going to be awesome.
Real American heroes.
Yes.
Now, Tim, every time you come on, I got to ask you again, who's eligible to be a Minnesota Patriot Guard rider?
Anybody's eligible. You don't even need a motorcycle. You just need a way to get to wherever the mission is and be able to look it up and see what's going on. And if you join our organization, we put you on a email list and tell you what's going on in your area, and the ride captains are always helpful getting you going. So all you have to do is find out where you want to be and where you want to go and go there, and we'll help you the rest.
It's all about what?
Honor, dignity, and respect.
And you go to the funerals, you go to the welcome home celebrations, you go to the departure celebrations, and it's a lot of people still think it's a bunch of old Vietnam veterans on their motorcycles.
No.
But it's anybody, isn't it?
It's anybody.
And you've told me before, even if I arrive in my cage, my truck, it's okay.
Yep. Oh, yeah. We just want you there. We don't care how you get there.
And how many chapters do you have around the state?
20.
And how many members do you think you have right now,
Ryan? It's about 5,300 across the state of Minnesota. Yeah. In the whole organization, Patriot Guard, across the nation, it's over 300,000.
Tim, we just got a little less than a minute left, but I don't think I've asked you this before. If a member of your family is a veteran and they've passed, and you'd like to have the Minnesota Patriot Guard riders at the funeral, how do you go about it?
The easiest way is to go to our website, mnpatriotguard.org, and over on the left side, it's a Request the Patriot Guard. Just click on that, and it'll ask you a few questions, and that will send an email out to about a dozen people, and somebody there will get back to you real quick. And
it's that easy?
That's easy.
And then you just put out the call, and you're not sure how many riders show up, but there's always a bunch, and sometimes a lot.
Yeah, sometimes a lot. Sometimes they surprise you.
You don't surprise me anymore, Tim, but appreciate all the hard work that you and your Patriot Guard riders do, and what a great organization, and honor, dignity, respect, that's something really to stand up for in today's age.
It is. It's an honor for us to do it.
Tim, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Lieutenant Colonel Scotty Linné, Tiffany Kowaleski, Jana Huffman, Bruce Okocha, Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Shelito of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about some new research from the Minneapolis VA on the Gulf War illnesses and meet one of our newest Yellow Ribbon companies. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.